Here we go. Here we go. On this Monday evening, it is the 24th day of July, 2023, 6 o'clock straight up, which means it is time for Real Talk Memphis. I am your humble host, Chip Washington. Very happy to be with you this evening. And I'm gonna put a disclaimer out real fast here. I have not been feeling my best. I have some sort of issue with perhaps some bronchitis trying to set in. I did go to the doctor this afternoon. Got about 20 different medicines, exaggerating just a little bit. But, you know, the great ones playing pain, man. So that's why we're here tonight. We have a great show for you tonight. We have great guests that are going to join us this evening. And, of course, you out there in the listening audience. And you can do this a number of ways, of course, now that you're all leveled out. You know, the show before us is Level Lola. And, of course, she's with me for this hour. But she has her own show right before us. Play some really, really good music. Really good music. You got to check it out. And you'll get level. See, I'm level right now. I'm not feeling the best, but I'm level. You can tell. See, that's the influence of the show. But as I was saying, you can catch this fine piece of radio broadcasting many ways. Of course, we're live right now on 91.7 WYXR. You can also catch us on the WYXR app, the TuneIn app. We are on Facebook Live, or I assume we are on Facebook Live. And when they post the show tomorrow, you should be able to catch us on YouTube, if that's your thing. And, of course, as we are a podcast, you can catch us wherever it is you get your podcast. So a very good evening to each and every one of you. I will tell you this. The heat pump is back. The heat is on. The humidity levels are going to go high. So we might see highs in the low 90s first couple of days. Then it's going to escalate up into the mid to upper 90s by the weekend. And the heat index is going to be crazy. So, again, hot weather rules apply. And prepare for that. And in talking a little bit about that, we're going to talk about that tonight. But my guest list is as follows. We're going to speak to a young woman by the name of Jennifer Christian, who is the founder and executive director of My Girls Tennessee. And it is a mentoring program for young ladies to basically let them know that they have worth and they have value in this life working together. They're teaching them, they're showing them, and it's a good thing. So Jennifer will be with me, excuse me, y'all, in just a few minutes to talk about that. Then a little bit later on, we're going to talk about this heat with an emergency room doctor. His name is Dr. Carlos Shamas. He works out of the Baptist Medical Group, and he's going to talk to us about the heat, but not so much the heat, but the but what happens when you get too much of it. So he's going to talk about some of the pitfalls of being out and understanding your body and understanding what the heat can do to your body, especially extreme heat, like we're seeing all over the country, in a very short period of time. So he's going to talk to us about that. Very good information. And in the second half hour, we are going to talk to, I would say, a broadcast legend. He wouldn't, but I would. If you're a regular watcher of WREG News Channel 3, you're very familiar with the gentleman who does weather. He is Tim Simpson. They call him the weather expert. He's a weather expert. He's a meteorologist. He has been there for just under 30 years, 29 years to be exact. This is his last week at WREG, if you didn't know. He is retiring after this week. Friday will be his last broadcast, and he's headed off to South Carolina. So we are fortunate enough, I've known Tim for a long time, and to have him come on the show. He doesn't do a lot of this, but he's going to come on our show second half hour and talk about his career and you know, why he and his wife decided that this was the perfect time for them to head east, so to speak. So, yeah, very good show on tap for you all tonight. I see a lot of folks, so a few folks on the Facebook line tonight. GKP, Jay Worth, Audrey is with us tonight, Audrey Hill, Michael Harris, and a few other folks. But glad to have you on, and the rest of you out there, I hope you'll join us momentarily. But as we normally do on this broadcast about this time, is we celebrate you, your trip around the sun. There are a lot of July babies, period. They're just a lot. I mean, you know, week after week after week. And this week is no exception. It is during this time where we honor you, we celebrate you, we shout you out all over the country because it's your time. But I can't do that unless I say, hit it, Brent. Yeah, a lot of happy birthdays going out today. Aaron Fleming celebrating a birthday today. He is a columnist for the Commercial Appeal, I want to say. Jesse Westbrook, happy birthday to you. Tavita Williams Dumas, happy birthday. Charles Wright celebrating today. Happy birthday to Loreen McCann, to Derek Branch. Happy birthday to Yvette Michelle Ivory, to David Towers. David Towers and let's see here. Courtney Deshaun Richardson celebrating a birthday today, as is Hugh Davis Jr. and Felicia Broadnax. And this one is for Lola and Nicole, an old friend of ours, someone who sat in the chair that Bryn's sitting in. It's Jack's birthday, Jack Shepman. It is Jack's birthday. Jack, we're shouting you out, man, right here at the radio station that you used to work at when you used to hang out with us. So very happy birthday to each and every one of you on this day. We hope that this day has been filled with fun and laughter. And we look forward to joining you next year as we celebrate your next trip around the sun. Thank you, Bryn. Welcome back. Bryn wasn't with us last week. He was down sunning himself on the beach in Florida. And he's back on the board today. Always good to see him. Glad he had a great trip. Okay, so power, which has been like the big thing for all of us the last couple of weeks with these tremendous storms moving through here, is pretty much totally restored. I didn't say all restored, but for the most part, it is restored, and we're going to pray that the rest of you out there who still don't have power will get it sooner rather than later. The last storm we had, the one that we had a few days ago, like Friday, affected over 80,000 households and brought outages. We had three storms almost back to back to back. And the total amount of outages, which really stunned me, was, and this is three storms, over three storms, 216,000 people in Memphis and Shelby County lost power, in between all of these storms here. And just as soon as you got one back on, another storm hit and knocked everything back out. This is unbelievable. And in the past 18 months, year and a half, according to statistics, we here in Shelby County have had over, are you ready for this? 800,000 outages in 18 months. And the damage, of course, is mainly caused by the trees, lack of tree trimming, of course, and vegetation. And according to MLGW, they're about 7 to 8 years behind on this. These are some staggering numbers. They did get approved for some money for tree trimming and things like that. Let's hope they get on that right away. But 800,000 outages in the last year and a half, that's stunning. And it also lets you know about the infrastructure that we're dealing with and, what kind of work needs to be done to try to fix this problem, because people are complaining and they have every right to, especially when you pay the bills, which some can be rather high. You expect the kind of service that you at least deserve out here. Unfortunate aspect of this was, I don't know if you heard about it or not, Doug McGowan, who is the president and CEO of Memphis Light, Gas, and Water these days, his wife was apparently threatened by an angry customer who drove to their house and confronted his wife and said if they didn't get things straight, she was going to come back and it wasn't going to be pretty. Well, the police report has been filed. The woman has been found, and I don't know what the back end of all of that was. But you know what? Tempers get frayed, man, especially when you're sitting around in a hot house. Your food is spoiling in the refrigerator. You don't know how long you're going to be out. You don't know when they're going to show up. It can be extraordinarily stressful. They're on the way. And the good news is, according to the weather folks, and I asked him about this, this should be a pretty dry week. in the city, which gives us all a chance to dry out and everything else as well. So Germantown has some water issues, in case you weren't familiar with that. This last storm knocked out something in terms of their water supply, which caused diesel fuel to get into the water. So people were using to turn on the water and doing things that you do around your house, and they noticed an odor, rather strong odor of gasoline. Well, that is a result of the damage that was done internally to their system. So as of late this afternoon, they're testing every day now. Now, if you live east of Forest Hill Irene, listen up. If you live east of Forest Hill Irene, the officials in Germantown say that the water is okay for you to drink. On the other side of it, not so much. They're still detecting particles that are not right in the water. So continue to do what you do. Don't use that water for anything except for using the bathroom. Don't use that water for anything until you get the all clear from the Germantown officials. And even the folks east of Forest Hill Irene, you might want to check that as well. Make sure you're good on that end as pertains to the water situation out there. A lot of this, if you can't see me right now, you're listening to me, I'm drinking water. So a bottle of water, they're you know, being helped out by Collierville and a lot of other places. So they have plenty of bottled water for you to use in the meantime, although it is very, very convenient. Another very violent weekend in the city. We had 10 people shot this weekend, a total of two dead. And one of the injured parties, this was over in Parkway Village on Saturday, I believe, an 8-month-old child was a victim of this random gun violence that we see on a daily basis. So, you know, again, they call these mass shootings, by the way. Anything over three is considered a mass shooting. So we had five people shot, one dead in the Parkway Village situation. And then we had three people shot in another part of town. And then we had, you know, two individual shootings, one of which resulted in a death. So 10 people shot, two deaths over the weekend. So I want to shift gears here. Yeah, it's pretty sad as I'm looking at the folks on Facebook Live. But I want to shift gears here to ask you a question. Did you know that there was a benefit to being a slave back in the slavery days? Now that sounds, you know, pretty sarcastic, but the folks in Florida, your favorite vacation state, the Florida State School Board has voted to install new standards to teach students that some black people benefited from slavery because it taught them skills that could be applied for their personal benefit. Governor Ron DeSantis is the governor of Florida. And, you know, we're already used to hearing some really ridiculous things come out of his mouth. Of course, critical race theory, one of them. And when he was asked about this, this proposal that passed, by the way, the school board, teachers are outraged, obviously. As is half the country, he said, well, you know, this is, and he tried to explain it. Well, you know, this was a situation back in the day when, you know, not all, but some, you know, may have actually benefited when slavery was stupid stuff, right? And so he said, if you have any questions about any of this, don't contact me, contact the state school board. How about that? Democracy in action, ladies and gentlemen, my God. You know, there's a saying that says common sense isn't always common. I don't know what it says when you have like the zero common sense at all. But in any event, we'll leave that as it lay. Carly Russell, the young lady who decided to let the whole country know that she saw a little baby on the highway in Hoover, Alabama, walking the highway by itself. She was following. She made the phone call and whole nine yards. Let's just cut to the chase. She submitted a statement today through her attorney. She's got an attorney, which basically says she lied about everything. She made everything up. There was no one else involved. She did this all on her own. No explanation given, but I would advise her to get ready because at some time sooner rather than later, the Hoover police will be making an in-person visit to her house. No doubt. And she will probably get charges Jay Worth and I were talking about this earlier this afternoon. Absolutely speechless. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will see how that. But again, my question for her is why? That's all I want to know is why. I mean, the manpower, the resources, and everything involved in this turns out to be one of the biggest hoaxes ever. And last but not least, I'll bring it back home here. The Hard Rock Cafe, which many of you have been to, you know, it's been here for a very long time, about 26 years. Well, it will close its doors for the final time on the 30th, which is, what, this week, right? They'll be closed for good. So if you are a big Hard Rock Cafe fan, you might want to get down there the next few days before they close up shop. That's kind of sad, actually. It has been a downtown landmark for a very, very long time. Anyway, we'll take our first break of the show. And when we come back, we're going to get into it. What do you say? Thank you for being here on this this very hot and steamy Monday evening with a man who's got a funny throat and a little bronchitis, but we're going to make it through. On this edition of Real Talk Memphis, first break, we'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Mississippi's independent record store, The End of All Music, has locations in Oxford and Jackson, Mississippi. Both shops are open 7 days a week, specializing in new and used vinyl records and CDs. Do your old records need a new home? More information at endofallmusic.com.
Did you know you could donate your vehicle and support WYXR at the same time? We offer free pickup and it's tax deductible. Go to cars.wyxr.org to donate your car today.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Chip with you. There are many organizations in our city that are trying to do positive things for our young people. Our first guest is no exception to that rule. She has a wonderful organization that she founded, and she's the executive director of. I first found out about her when I saw her on a story. They did a feature story on her on News Channel 3 about a week or so ago, and I said, this is the kind of story that I think more people should know about. So please welcome to the show, Jennifer Christian. She's the founder and executive director of My Girls Tennessee. And Jennifer, it's great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chip. Nice to see you also.
Absolutely. So listen, congratulations on your organization. But for folks who don't know what it is that you do, what My Girls Tennessee is all about, kind of lay it out for us, if you will.
Okay. My Girl is an organization for ages 9 through 18, young girls ages 9 through 18. And we are in the Memphis, Tennessee and surrounding areas. And I say surrounding because we're also in South Haven. And so our mission and our goal is to elevate and empower youth girls to be their best self. And that's financially, mentally, emotionally, just to have some stability in their lives and have that sisterhood where they can always come back to.
What made you realize at one point or another, I guess you were thinking or something happened or something triggered this, that an organization like My Girl was so important?
Well, it was the fact of when you walk around the Memphis, Tennessee area or even in your churches and when you go into the homes or when you go into the schools, there's an array of organizations in the Memphis, Tennessee area and all around us. But I felt that there was still a greater need And so I wanted to capture those young girls who may not have known about other organizations or even known about My Girl. And so we just wanted to try to empower them because sometimes we have a lot of organizations that just speak and talk to the girls. And we want to be an organization that we also want to listen to our girls.
That particular component, the listening component, is probably the more most important, I would say, in reference to what it is that you do. You start from the age of 9. Why mm-hmm. was it important to start? Why 9? Why that particular age?
Well, we thought it would be great to foster the young girls who are kind of leaving elementary school and entering that middle school area, because we felt that that was a very pivotal moment in their lives. So we didn't want to capture them at the preteen age of 12 or 13. We kind of wanted to go before then, because a lot of young girls, and you can see a lot of these kids that are growing up, they're grown. We joke about it, but you know, these girls and these young men, they're grown. And so they know what's going on. They know what's out there in the world. They have social media who enlightens them on a lot of things. And so we thought, well, hey, let's capture them at third or fourth grade before they enter that middle school age, where they're going to be faced with a lot that's going on. Identity crisis, body images, what I should do, who my friends should be. And so we thought that was a very good age.
Puberty, going through changes like that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of issues that they may be confused about. You mentioned social media, and you and I talked offline about this. You know, social media, for what it is, you know, there is some good, but there's also a lot of negatives that comprise social media and a lot of these different sites and things. Kids are very impressionable, and kids are on these sites all the time. Talk a little bit about how important it is to make them understand that, you know what, I mean, there is some good, but there's also some bad and some things that they need to watch out for.
Yeah. And so, Chip, we talk about that in a lot of our My Best Self forums. It's an annual event that we have in the fall of each year. And we try to encompass that. And not only is it just the adults who are talking, we advise a lot of our 18, 17-year-old girls to be there, and those who have moved on from the program and gone off to college. But because we want them to know that a lot of times you can get so caught up in social media that you forget your focus in life. And we want them to remember that their focus is to be their best self. And like I said, in their homes, in their communities, their churches, their schools, we want them to encompass that. And sometimes you can get so caught up in what social media is showing you that you forget the positives of life. And so a lot of times that goes into your self-awareness with our young girls, of making sure who they are. Yeah. A lot of times we can look at people and see things or read things online, and we think, well, maybe I should look like her, or maybe my house should look like this person's house, or I don't have what the next person has. And so we try to tell them just to stay focused, because we all were not meant to live in big white houses or, you know, things like that. It's a great thing to have. Like you said, there are pros and cons to it, but don't get wrapped up into what someone else has. Just stay in your lane and focus.
When these kids start to grow up a bit, and you alluded to it earlier, they think they know everything. And, you know, a lot of times they turn the parents off. You know, it gets to this point where the conversation is just like they turn the mute button on. So how do you, as an organization comprised of young ladies, get them to open up about some of the issues that they're dealing with and really earn that trust, if you will, as you move forward with all of this?
For me, I believe in being personable. I believe in being personable and hitting these girls with realistic matters. That was something that I had growing up, was that the reality of things, you know, my parents taught me that, and that's something that we want these girls to understand. So, for example, I talked to a parent earlier today who's having some trouble with one of her girls, and asked if, you know, some of our volunteers can speak with her. So we try to meet the girls where they are. Mm. So we understand that when we have our events, you have to meet the girls where they are. So if we have someone that's having an issue, you know, take that young girl possibly to breakfast. You know, a large setting may not be great for her. You know, you may have to meet her on her level, and that's what My Girl wants to do.
Meet them where they are. That is a critically important component, because you're right. Not everybody is in the same place or the same space or feels comfortable in that. So you have to figure out what is the best approach, it sounds like, you know, to be able to communicate with this particular individual. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, you are correct. And like I said, even when we're in our large settings and we have our events, you know, when you have your Q&A, you can kind of survey the room to see who may want to say something, but they're afraid to say something. You know, it's always been like that. I was sure. That person in school that I thought the question that I had was a stupid question. So we try to tell the girls, you know, no, you know, like we've always said, no question is a stupid question. And most of the time, somebody else in the room is thinking the exact same thing that they're thinking. They're just ashamed to say it. So we try to give them that forum. And then when we have our events, if they don't want to speak it, we allow them to write their question down and turn it in. Okay. You know, we don't say a name. So we try to meet them as many ways as we can, wherever they are.
So, you know, a lot of organizations, you know, generally benefit from community partners. This sounds, your organization, My Girl, sounds like an organization that really could benefit from community partners because of what you're doing in such a positive way for these young ladies. Do you find that you're starting to, as word is getting out about your organization, that more and more people are starting to become interested, asking the question, you know, tell me more about this. What is this about? And maybe how we can help?
Yes, we are. A lot of people are asking, you know, it's that thing like sometimes it's a fine line, like we want to ask, but we don't want to ask. But a lot of times we get asked, what is My Girl? I've had a lot of people reach out, inquire about us on our website and our volunteers to get back with us. And we invite that all of the time because like they say, it takes a village.
Right.
So My Girl cannot do it on our own. You know, we also partner with local therapists, local hygiene, people that are focusing on hygiene. So we try to encompass all of that in our volunteers, but we want to reach out to more physician groups, you know, women's physicians groups and people who are there for the girls, you know, so they'll know this isn't just somebody out of the blue talking to me. This is someone who has some experience.
Before I let you get out of here, please give the contact information. If people want to reach out to you via website, via phone, the floor is yours. Tell us how we can do it.
Okay. Well, you can always reach out to us on our website. It's the best way. It's www.mygirltn.org is our website. We are on Instagram at mygirl_TN. We are on Facebook at mygirl-Tennessee. And then our contact number is 901-438-9881. And we are working closely with Memphis Shelby County Schools. So if we tell people all the time, if your young girls will love us in the school to talk to her and her peers, please invite us and let your educators and your leaders know, and we'll be there.
Extraordinary. Wonderful, wonderful organization. I'm so glad that Channel 3 showcased you. And I hope that whoever's watching or listening to this broadcast, excuse me, we'll go to your website and check it out and see what it is that you're doing. And maybe, you know, who knows, we'll spawn a few more phone calls and of interest from here. Jennifer Christian, founder, executive director of My Girl Tennessee, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I truly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Absolutely that. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the kind of organizations that we need desperately in our city. Who are doing great things, the nonprofit organization. They can always use the help and support. If you heard something within that interview that you think you might want to, you know more about or be a part of, hit that website, hit that phone number, check them out. Very great interview. Thanks for coming on the show. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about something that we're all dealing with right now in the extreme heat. And more importantly, what that can do to your body, and it's not a good thing. This is Real Talk Memphis. I'm Chip. We'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest? Or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back. It's real talk.
MIFA's Meals on Wheels program serves more than 700,000 meals to seniors across Memphis and Shelby County each year. MIFA depends on volunteers to deliver many of those meals, and the volunteers may be the only person the seniors see that day. If you would like to be part of MIFA's long tradition of service and to learn more about volunteering, more information can be found at mifa.org/WYXR.
The Sunset Jazz at Court Square Concert Series is back every second Sunday, May through October, featuring Memphis's top jazz artists at 62 North Main in downtown Memphis. More information and the lineup are available at sunsetjazzmemphis.com.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
Back to Real Talk Memphis on this Monday evening. Chip with you, and some really good positive comments here from the Facebook Live folks about the interview we just had with Jennifer, and wishing her the best on our program. Another person said, great organization to help our young girls. Hats off to you. And a lot of people are very supportive of what it is that you're trying to do. Audrey said, this is a very positive avenue for girls to have, specifically preteens. Absolutely. So hopefully we'll have her back on the show. But right now we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about what people are talking about coast to coast in this country. And that is the extraordinary heat that we're dealing with. It's the top story on every national newscast in this country. And I wanted to focus in on not only the heat, but from somebody who deals with this on a regular basis in terms of the negative aspects of the heat that we are dealing with. Please welcome to the show Dr. Carlos Shamas. And Dr. Carlos, it is great to see you. And by the way, I should have said he is an emergency room doctor. He works out of the Baptist Medical Group out there in South Haven. But having said all that, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, bud.
So listen, you know, you and I talked a little bit offline, and you shared some interesting information in reference to all of this. But first of all, as an ER doctor, tell me about are you seeing many cases involving heat related issues so far this summer?
We have lately, especially since May. It's going to progressively gotten worse. Mm. Let me give you a quick background. I mean, heat exhaustion and heat-related illnesses affect a lot of people in the U.S. There's a lot of some data from the U.S. Environmental Protective Agency. It pretty much affects anywhere from 0.5 to 2 people per million. So we're looking at a couple of thousand people suffering a year. Mm-hmm. We see anywhere from heat exhaustion to heat strokes. And with the weather that we've been having, it's taken a little impact on a lot of people around here.
Separate, if you will, Dr. Shamas, separate the heat exhaustion and the symptoms from heat stroke.
So heat's going to affect the body's different way, and it goes from anywhere from dehydration, simple dehydration, to heat exhaustion, where people have muscle cramps, fatigues, mm-hmm. headaches, mm-hmm. nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and into a more serious and actually lethal heat strokes, where the body temperature goes over 103 degrees, causes, on top of everything, confusion, unconsciousness, and then pretty much death.
Wow.
Go
ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who's at risk? Infants, children under 5, especially because kids' temperatures, they rise 5 times faster than adults.
Okay.
So they can't regulate the heat as much. People over 65, overweight people, heat people with heart disease, kidney disease, and, you know, we have a lot of that in the South. Mm-hmm. We get affected a bit even more because the way your body actually reacts is you sweat, and that's how it cools you down. In the South here, not only is it hot, it's humid.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability of the body to produce more sweat kind of plateaus and stops, and then that way your temperature just keeps going up and up to a...
We started this show talking about the power outages that you know thousands and thousands of us have dealt with the last few weeks. When you and I were talking, you mentioned to me, and we don't think about it really much, but talk about being in a hot house and how that has affected quite a few people, quite a few of us, in terms of the heat and how it, and what it does to your body.
All right, so you know, nearly everybody has air conditioning, if not AC units, but the houses are insulated. They keep the temperature cool when it's working. But then when you don't have electricity and you don't have air conditioning, it kind of, it becomes like an oven and it cooks the it cooks you from the inside out.
Mm.
So you don't have electricity. It's 100 degrees outside. At the 1-2 days, it's going to gradually, you know, increase the heat in the house. And most people after a while say, okay, you know what, I'm keeping my windows and doors shut. But eventually it acts like an insulator and it makes it worse over time. So if when we don't have electricity and it gets hotter, we recommend at nighttime, at least when the temperature cools down some, open the windows and doors and put some fans on to circulate the air.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got anywhere you can go to, a lot of public places, go to the mall, go out where you can actually have air conditioning and spend the majority of the day there. All that kind of helps.
Yeah, we are seeing temperatures in this, not now, on the globe, are hotter than they have ever been. They talk about this, they've been talking about this with frequency. And that's kind of a scary proposition in particular for many of us. And I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not just one part of the world. I mean, this is all over the world. I mean, it's like we're just frying. And so these the tips that you have for people that come to see you, that are coming to be treated for heat exhaustion, heat stroke. What kind of tips would you give folks in reference to all of this?
So first and foremost, we tell them try and stay cool if you can. If you don't have air conditioning, try and find a place that does. You got to drink, always continuously drink water. A lot of people don't, sometimes we see people saying, well, I'm always hydrated. I'm drinking Coca-Colas, I'm drinking soft drinks, tea. What people don't realize is they have caffeine in them.
Right.
And that makes you actually, over the long run, more dehydrated because it diuresis your body. It makes you urinate a lot more. So you drink a big cup of tea, you eventually are going to, you know, expel 2 cups. And so you're dehydrated more. So it's non-caffeinated drinks that we try and tell people to have. That's an important thing. Alcohol. No, that's another diuretic.
Right.
But,
yeah.
We tell people to wear light clothes, loose clothes, not tight. Hats if they're outside. I do understand we've got a lot of people who have to work outdoors, so there's a lot of a wet rag around your neck if you can. You know, drink every 20 minutes. Drink some water. If you have to do your yard, do it at nighttime, not in the daytime.
Yeah, when the sun's going down, at least,
exactly.
It's still really hot. But
There's some local response plans by the local governments around. I know that Germantown's also affected by the water,
right?
Lately, right. So they've got some. You know, if you can go around and get some bottled water, don't drink that water again. Unfortunately, that's just another hurdle. So
yeah, it is.
If you have some friends outside of Germantown that you can go there for a while, I think it has been mostly resolved, but you know, that's stuff that gets affected and you don't even plan for that kind of things.
Exactly. So basically, I think the overall message that I'm hearing from you here is, we have to exercise some common sense, and we have to understand that heat is no joke. and that it can the negative aspects of it can sneak up on you pretty quickly. Am I correct in that?
Oh yes, that's. I mean, we're talking there are hours within an hour or two, and you don't even feel it because by the time you, if you're working outside, by the time you start having symptoms, it's kind of, you know, you're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely that. Well, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about this because it really bothers me. I mean, I've had a couple of people that I know who been out, you know, like bike riding and doing a lot of other things and end up getting one friend got seriously ill. I mean, to the point to where they had to go to the hospital seriously ill. And it's just a constant reminder that, you know, you may not think that it is affecting you as in a negative way. But that's you not thinking and not really understanding this. But that son is no joke, according to what you're telling us.
No, absolutely. And as I said, it's not you don't start feeling it little by little. It's the point where you're doing great and then all of a sudden it hits you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's the important thing is try and avoid that to begin with, or at least, you know, even with enough water, if the heat's enough, it'll cook you.
Wow, that's crazy. Dr. Carlos Shamus, emergency room doctor, a physician at the Baptist Medical Group. Dr. Carlos, thank you for coming on the show, man, and giving us some wonderful tips. Really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Yes, sir. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Some things you may not have known, he explained to us in pretty good detail. Bottom line to all of this is that the sun, you don't play with the sun and you don't play with this heat because you will wind up losing every time in that process. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a very, very familiar face to all of us in the Mid-South talking about weather right here on this Monday edition of Real Talk Memphis. I am Chip. You know who you are. We'll take a quick break, a final break, and we'll be right back.
If you like Real Talk, here's a way you can get involved. Do you have a show topic idea or suggestion? Want to be considered a guest? Or have a guest idea? Then send Chip a message on his Real Talk show page and you can be a part of the Real Talk experience. So as he always says, go out and tell somebody. We'll be right back.
Church Health's Memphis Plan continues its decades-long commitment to serving local musicians with comprehensive health care and also tailors its focus to small business owners and the self-employed. Healthcare through the Memphis Plan provides care in Memphis for Memphians. Related services include preventative health, optometry, dental care, and more. More information regarding availability at memphisplan.org or at 901-272-PLAN.
Can't find your radio? Maybe you're out of town and missing that Memphis feeling? WYXR can go with you wherever you travel with our mobile app for Android and Apple. Listen live or explore our archive and keep up to date with notifications. Download in your mobile app store by searching WYXR radio app or visit WYXR.org for more information.
Get Real Talk on the TuneIn mobile app under WYXR, and he's now streaming live on Facebook. And you can also catch a rebroadcast on YouTube. Just put WYXR in the search box and hit subscribe. Now back to more Real Talk with Chip Washington.
And welcome back to Real Talk Memphis on this beautiful, warm Monday evening in the city. Chip with you. My next guest, literally, you know, the term when they say, you know, they don't really need this person doesn't need an introduction. Well, the man I'm about to introduce to all of you is someone who is extraordinarily familiar to all of us in the Mid-South, especially during times of difficult weather. He is a weather expert. He is a meteorologist, and he's pretty good at what he does. He is Tim Simpson. And Tim, it is great to see you, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Chip, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Dealing with a little bronchial issue, but other than that, we're hanging in there and doing well. It is great to see you. You recently made an announcement to all of us that after 29 years of giving us a weather forecast of all kinds, you decided that it is now time to retire from doing weather at WREG. Tell us a little bit about what went into that decision.
Well, at this point, I am repositioning, and I'm headed over to South Carolina. We'll be doing that as of Friday is my last day here at the station, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that is that's pretty, you know, and I think for a lot of folks, that was some surprising news. You had mentioned that part of the decision by you and your lovely wife, Leah, is the fact that you have family in South Carolina, correct?
That's correct. I mean, when we came here 29 years ago, Chip, I was raised in Middleton, Tennessee. That's my hometown. That's out Hardeman County. I mean, you get on Poplar Avenue and you go east 65 miles, 650 people live in that town. So I'm from a really small town. For anyone who is a big Memphis State or U of M basketball fan, I played basketball, high school ball with Bobby Parks.
Okay.
Back. So that takes you way, way back. And so, you know, for me to move to Memphis was a big deal because I had family here and it was coming home for me. I was really excited about it. But, you know, my parents are gone. My family is, I don't have really any immediate family members here in Memphis. And so all of my wife's family is in South Carolina in the Greenville area. And two of our grown children are now in Greenville. And my only living sibling, my sister, lives in South Carolina. So
okay.
It really made sense to go ahead and just make a move, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going home. You've been here for, as we stated, excuse me, 29 years, long time. And we've depended on you for all of those, you know, all of those years, in particular when we've had severe weather. When you look back over, you know, your time here, your career here, what are some of the signature moments in terms of the weather-related activities that stand out to you the most?
Man, you just opened up a hornet's nest there. I mean, you and I both know, you've been around here so long as well. I mean, the storms hit back in 1994, that storm that hit Germantown just literally a couple of months after I had started here. That was like November 27th, 1994, three people killed in Germantown from that storm. And then in 1999, it is literally a Sunday afternoon. John Elway is playing probably one of his last games as a Denver Bronco, the AFC Championship football game. And pew, right in the middle of that, we got severe weather coverage. Mm. And they were incensed. And I mean, I get it, but that day, we had tornadoes on the ground in West Tennessee. Nine people killed that day.
Wow.
I mean, and then we repeated that. We had, like, that was January 17th of 99. Mm-hmm. Then January 21st, literally 4 days later. I remember it was a Thursday. We're tracking like 24 hours of nonstop severe weather coverage. And we just got slammed that week. Then I would take you probably to February 5th, 2008. That was a Super Tuesday. Big presidential election going on, and you had the tornado that hit Memphis that day. Three people killed out around the Hickory Hill area. Mm-hmm. After that storm, on camera that day with our Hilton Memphis camera, that storm went up to Jackson, Tennessee, and literally leveled Union University.
Yes, it did. Yeah, and I remember.
If you see that campus, I mean, I was there the day after. If you see that campus, you walk around, and you see all this utter destruction, and then someone tells you that no one was killed, you know, you would have called him a fool, a liar. It was just incredible. No one was killed.
Tim, we just had an anniversary of one of the biggest storms we had here a couple of days ago. Which storm was that?
Hurricane Elvis.
That was Hurricane Elvis, right? Okay, yeah.
July 2nd, 2003. You know, and people, we just had that storm just recently, the mini Hurricane Elvis. You know, just a few weeks ago, actually around the latter part of June.
Right.
And the storm, when the power went out and such, and people were comparing those two storms, you know, and they are comparable, but they're not quite the same because Hurricane Elvis was a much larger storm. Mm-hmm. Impacted like 330,000 MLGW customers, whereas this last storm impacted 122,000 MLGW customers. So they're both big storms, but the one in 2003 was a monster compared to this past.
Yeah, a lot of folks talk about that, and you know, when you think about it, recently we've had some, I mean, these have been some really powerful storms, and I don't want to underestimate you know, the power that they yielded, but my gosh, the ones that we've had about several weeks ago, and then the one we had on Friday, I mean, Tim, we don't, this is not a frequent thing with us, is it?
It's not. I mean, weather happens in cycles. Weather's like the stock market. It's like businesses. It's like churches. Weather happens in cycles, and there will be some summers that we don't really see much of anything as far as these types of severe storms. There are some summers where, like last year, we hit 100 degrees here in Memphis. Remember how hot it was back in June and July of last year? Mid-July, we'd already hit 100, like, what, 10, 12 different times.
Yeah.
And this year, we hit it that many times. And for those listening, that's a zero that I'm holding up right there, zero.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and who knows what would happen next year. But, you know, this cycle that we've had in June and July of this year has been a very active weather pattern. It seems like most of these storms have been happening, especially over the weekends and unfortunately during golf tournaments on Channel 3.
Yeah, that's not fun for the golfers out there. We talk about that. And we've also been hearing about national news has been talking about the warming of this earth. I mean, it's the temperatures are hotter on this earth than they've ever been, in the history of recording things like that. Do you have any thoughts about that one way or another?
Not that I want to share publicly at
okay.
this point.
Okay.
No, I do. I mean, there has been warming. Yeah, there has definitely been some warming for sure. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I look at where a lot of these, and plus we've got the social media today. You know, we've had, you know, people will come up to me like last summer, like, man, it's never been this hot in Memphis. Well, yeah, it has actually. You know, back in 1980, we had, you know, like 17 consecutive days of 100 degree heat. And that's when we recorded our all time record high in Memphis back July 13th, 1980. So once again, you know, we haven't had that kind of heat since 1980. It's just back in those days, we didn't have social media and we didn't have 24-hour news cycles on cable channels and, you know, 12 million channels on TV reporting all of it.
You know, a big part of the success of what you do, particularly in the weather field, is really gaining the trust of the folks out here, gaining the trust of the community, of the citizens and stuff. And you guys have managed to do that for quite a long period of time. What do you owe, that loyalty to in terms of you know, you're forecasting bad weather and a lot of us are impacted by that one way or another, but there's a trust factor that goes along with that. Am I correct?
You are spot on. And I would just say that you cannot fake sincerity. I mean, you're either serious about it and people know that you care, or, you know, you can't fake that. Yeah. And I'm just one of these guys, you know, I'm not a big deal. It's just because I work at a TV station. I was very humble beginnings. I'm from a rural town in West Tennessee. I'm thankful for the job I've got. I've got a wife and I was supporting five kids. I was here doing my job every day. And I would just tell anyone listening, especially a young person listening and looking for a job, the best ability is dependability. And if you just are dependable and reliable and you show up for work on time or ahead of time and you're always there, people start relying on you. And I just think, Chip, that's just a really big part of it, is just to be reliable and dependable and be there for folks. And, you know, I don't like breaking into golf tournaments for severe weather. I hate breaking into Jeopardy for severe weather or you know, so far. But if there's a tornado on the ground or there's a severe coming, you got to let the people know, you know, what's coming their way.
So one of the more popular segments on the newscast is Pass It On. And you've been doing that. You were doing that for a while. And it seems like, You absolutely have the best, most perfect personality to be able to do a segment like that. How gratifying has it been to be able to help so many people with that particular segment?
That is the most gratifying thing I have ever done in my career. Honestly, I am a person of faith. I'm not a perfect person, I can tell you that, but I'm a Christ follower. And I think as you're a Christ follower, you're serving others and you're doing what you can for other people. Man. And Chip, you and I both know that there are tremendous needs in this community.
Yes, sir.
And I just wish that we could pass it on to every request that comes into this TV station. But, you know, we only do 4 segments a month, you know, 1 a week. And literally, there's some weeks we might, or some months we'll get anywhere from 75 to 100 requests for passing on. So we have got two wonderful anonymous donors that help us out with that. And we could not make it what it is today without those donors. But man, I've seen it all, man. I'm telling you.
I know you have. And it's just an extraordinary segment. And it just tugs at the heartstrings. And what you said, there's a tremendous need in this community, you know, for any kind of help on that score. But my friend, listen, I've known you for a while. I've always found you to be a man of upright character and a very trusting individual. And we'll miss you, no doubt about that, you know, here in Memphis and in the Mid-South. And I wish you and your wife and the remainder of your family all the best in South Carolina. Their gain is our loss. But my friend, thank you for taking. You don't do too many of these type interviews for sure.
I don't.
And I'm honored that you accepted my invitation to come on, man. And God bless you both. Safe travels, and I hope that you have a wonderful life in retirement and whatever comes next.
Thank you, Chip. God bless you, man.
Take care of yourself. Yes, sir. Tim Simpson, ladies and gentlemen, one of the best. Absolutely, without question, one of the best. And he caps off what I would consider to be a really good show tonight. I have really, truly enjoyed this. And thank you all for putting up with me tonight. I said at the outset, I have a bit of a bronchial situation happening that I am on medication for. I will be on medication when I leave here, that's for sure. But thank you all, and as Bryn plays us out, thank you all for checking us out tonight. Truly appreciate it, more than you'll ever know. You know, we try to put on a decent show each and every week. Download the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. They're pretty good, actually. It's part of the host. in all seriousness, really appreciate your support. And tell folks about Real Talk Memphis, okay? Because we're doing a pretty good job around here, and we need your support and your continued help to keep us going, so to speak. So, for all of us here at Real Talk Memphis, for Bryn, who's back off vacation, for Nicole, and for Lola, a.k.a. Level Lola, a.k.a. DJ Lola, I'm Chip. Truly appreciate you, each and every one. Have a safe week. And until next time, we are out. See you soon. It's real.